We will start at 8:30. 8:30, there's no around 8:30. There's only 8:30 on the day of, what day is it today? The 15th, the day of the 15th. Honorable Mother, she will assist you with your package and the food. Fine. You are mostly welcome as well. And I was just saying that 8:30 is not around about 8:30. It's just 8:30 on the 15th of November 2015. There are some apologies for this subcommittee. One, I'll request that Fumile just check the Honorable Van Day Zeysen, how far he is, for the record purposes, and indicate to him that we have started. We've got Honorable Madubazana, who will be joining us slightly late because of her committee there to approve important minutes. We've got an apology for Honorable Makaose. She would like to be excused for a few hours or minutes, and then she'll be joining us. But I requested her to remain because she's joining us for the first time to welcome her to the subcommittee before the full committee, but also so that she does have a feel how the proceedings are going to unfold for the day. We do also, after lunch, during the sitting, house sitting, Honorable Slengwa, he's debating. He would like to be excused for a few minutes and he will be back. But nevertheless, the interviewing panel will proceed. But also the other one, which is the most important, if there's any need for us, all of us as members, to go for voting when the bell rings, then we'll go and come back quickly. So, honorable members, when after we have voted and the votes have been declared, make sure that you walk out from the house.
Honorable Mwane. Yeah, thanks, Chair. Firstly, let me apologize for coming late. We're stuck in the traffic. With the honorable Dombela, I'm sure he's also running at me.
Sorry, Honorable Mwabe, don't ever make a mistake and compare and measure yourself with Honorable Dombela. He just excels, so don't do that mistake.
Okay. At 10:30, Chair, I would like to be excused for about 20 minutes or so. I'll be back. And then also this afternoon, I've got a declaration to make in the house. That is true.
I think that would be in order, as long as that we are fairly represented, it would suffice. I think I'm correct, legal advice. Okay, so we've disposed with the housekeeping matters, but for the benefit of the honourable members also, we have requested at all our sittings of the subcommittee, there must be a legal, parliamentary legal services. Ms. Patricia?
Pikashe.
Ms. Pikashe is here. Her role is simple, to ensure that if we deviate from the regulations, if we may say that, in the procedures, and we get tempted to flaw the process, that she would advise us as the need arises. So she's here. She has been with us since we started this round. Honorable Chair.
No, thanks, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. Just on the issue of the voting, I know the bells will ring, but you should actually do keep time and mindful, particularly should the candidate be here, because we will be voting on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. So if we could maybe around that time, listen to a candidate who would be here, advising progress, the voting will definitely take place. But it's been moved, it was the first item, unlike other days.
Okay, that is fine. We'll do that accordingly. Ms. Pole, you take care of that. Oh, now it reminds me that this is our interim portfolio committee secretary, Ms. Paul, because he's new. Okay. And also, Julius is our content advisor.
And
the rest we know ourselves.
You know, the members can't do the truth, but we don't all know what the members.
Because we are not going to be introducing ourselves during the interview. Far left, Honorable Velma, introduce yourself. She speaks through the interpreter.
Sorry, Chair, I thought you introduced me already by saying Honorable Velma. Velma,
I want to hear your artificial voice.
My female voice clearly is on her way as well. This is my male voice, I'm not.
Oh, I thought I was being sabotaged. Morning, fellow members. My name is Sibusiso Mncwabe, the Honorable Mncwabe. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Mkhuleko Hlengwa.
My name is Mabatu Mugaunse.
Good morning, Chair. Yeah, Chair, my name is Mervyn Dux. I actually asked for the intro because I wanted to find out, I wanted to establish in my mind whether all the political parties are represented. But I still haven't get it. I'm from the ANC. Because I know the members of the committee that's always here, that was in the short listing. So I just needed to understand which parties are represented here. Thank you.
In future, Honorable Mervyn, you must do exactly that instead of going indirectly. The ANC is represented NFP, IFP, EFF. So hence I requested Ufungile to go and phone Honorable Member from the DA. Because he's normally on time. Yeah, but it doesn't hold us back not to proceed. Yeah. No, I think that you have managed to take me outside the my programmed flow of thinking, which is very good. I appreciate that. But also, I will request that I'm still dealing with the housekeeping matters, that Mascole take us through the package, what is inside the package. And we are not going to use mine because we're going to mislead you. Use the next door.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. The file basically just, we have a program on the first page, which is inclusive of the candidates which were shortlisted. A member would note that initially there were 14 candidates which were shortlisted, and now there are 13. And this is because one of the candidates...
I will request that you listen. It will help us. Take us through the content, like in the pink one, we've got this and this and that. Okay. What we are pitching. The first page in terms of the file is the program of the day in terms of the time. The next page is the writing pad. The following one, which I requested to be in, is the advert. Can we see the advert, which is there? That's a problem then, because I did table out Julia said what I need in the pack. So I'll appreciate if, can I go through writing the notes that what I'm expecting to be inside the pack? No, it's not there, I can see. Okay. I requested that we've got the timetable in terms of the interviews. Secondly is the advert, that members will refresh their minds with what was written in the advert. Thirdly is the Act, the section of the Act, the section of the Constitution also that speaks to that, which I requested. The other one that I requested is the section of the Act and the section of the Constitution, which are separate here. And also chapter 13 of the NDP, what I requested, and the CVs according to the schedule of time. Next time when we're still going to be doing interviews together, Julian, I'll appreciate that. We stick to what I requested, because it does involve members. So we will be there in a few minutes before 9 o'clock, work on that for the members to get it. For me to proceed also, what I will urge members, the Honorable Hlengwa, is that we are, then it's the second point now, we are going to be adopting the minutes of the subcommittee. I'll request that we go through them without adopting them, that because Honorable, my lucky star just walked in. Okay. We've just started, your name is somewhere among the five first side. You are mostly welcome, honorable member. Yes, it's unlike you. No, all of us are stuck in traffic. That's why we left our villages at half past exit. Precisely on that score. Honorable member, just to recap, we have introduced ourselves. Honorable Mazen, the honorable that has just walked in is from DA.
Thank you very much.
Okay, for your benefit.
Thank you.
Okay, consistency. We have dealt with the apologies. Now we're dealing with the, in terms of how we're going to approach the interviews and the play. Quickly, what I was expecting, which is not there, which I'm very disappointed, is the agenda of the day with the timetable of the interviews, the minutes, which I was just talking to the minutes because you were not here as yet, the approach that the chair will take, the acting chair will take the subcommittee members through, the advert, that letter from the legal services that talks to the fit and proper, I requested to be there. I'll borrow you my file because my file is for everything. I requested also the Public Service Act, Chapter 10, that talks to the public services in May, that should be there. I requested also the Act, Section 196 of the Act, Chapter 10, yes, and the NDP Chapter 13, and the CVS. Hence, I said, don't use mine because it's going to mislead you. Then I'll request that after we've dealt with this, our 5 minutes, we organize this copy for the members. Why also the advert is important is because members have to refresh their minds in terms of what is written in the advert when they ask questions. The other, what is in the package, is the envelope, is the questions which are filled. None of us have seen them. But what we have done, just give me section 3 there. What we have requested is that they look at 2013, 2011, and 2014 questions and incorporate them, and also which those ones were not taking care of the NDP. So the questions are here. We will talk to the questions as soon as I've just dealt with some few issues. The most important one, Honorable Fanny Hayes-Dazen, is the adoption of the minutes, which I assume you were present. Only two political parties were present on these two sets. The first one, which is the 20th of October, which I prefer that we look at that one and we adopt them. And I assume all of us, we do have that, the minutes. Okay, silence is golden. Okay. First page, we may move. Second page, which is the one is not numbered. I'll request that members, if there's anything that you want to raise for corrections, then we... Honourable member, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Chair. If I understood you correctly, you're referring to the minutes of the 20th of October.
Yes,
my impression is that those are the minutes of the Portfolio Committee. We're a subcommittee, and I think we can only
adopt... My humble apologies. Yeah. No, we're fine, we're right. Subcommittee was the 1st of November. Now I'm correct. Okay, thank you. Page 2. Any corrections there? Those members who were present are in the better position, Honorable Mwabe, to talk to page 2. And they were emailed to us. Okay, that's fine. Page 3, which is not numbered, that is for the list of from number 4 of the candidates to the last one. Honorable House, yes, you are well, we are your excuse me. Shall I get a mover and a second on Honorable Fanny Hayes-Dazen first? Page, which is not numbered.
It was my impression that after we've shortlisted the potential candidates, that the
staff would go and vet these candidates, do a background check on these candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not recorded here in the minutes. Because I would like the staff also to give us some feedback. If we had more time, ma'am, I think we would have had a meeting in between to say, you know, these are the findings, they've all been found to be fit and proper. So if I could just ask perhaps that after we've identified the names of the 14 candidates, that we just insert a sentence to say that, the staff would then go and vet these 14 candidates and give feedback to the committee on their findings in this regard, whether all of them would pass the requirement of being fit and proper for this position.
I think on that one is my approach. I thought when I was going through them, I thought we had it somewhere here, which means I had it back of my mind. But we will get that report definitely. Then I would suggest that with that correction, under the committee concluded, and then we add that line.
Thank
so
you,
that it
ma'am.
Captures
and with that amendment, I can then support the adoption of the minutes.
Okay, thank you. Seconder, with the amendment? Honorable Mwabe, thank you. Okay, so. Honorable Velma?
Thank you, Chair. I did not read the minutes yet. I would appreciate it if we can receive it before our meetings. I've only received it this morning. Please, if I can, I can't go through it fast right here. I'm sorry, so I'm not going to, I only got it this morning. If we can please get it in time.
Okay, no, we are correct, Honorable Member, but just for our benefit, for all of us, what we do with the administration thus far is that within 24 hours, they send a draft minutes to the acting chair. Within less than 2 hours, for now, it's less than 8 hours, let me use that one, the chair responds to them, and then immediately it gets emails to everyone, even these ones. I think there's something with the network that happened. But all of us, because the addresses of the email, it does say who has received or not. So we have, but we apologize then if you didn't receive them. May we then, having adopted the minutes, let's then get the report of the vetting per candidate. Honourable Julius?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, honourable members. We have requested a Parliament Human Resource and Security Services to assist us with regard to the verification of qualifications and security verification of all these candidates. But the process was not yet completed yesterday, but that does not mean the committee cannot proceed with the interviews, because we are not deliberating on the candidates today. That report can still be presented before the portfolio committee, the subcommittee deliberate before they can finalize the candidates. So I hope members will understand that the fact that there was some delays that we encountered. So the day when the subcommittee sit for the deliberation of candidates, then we'll get a full report on the vetting process.
Thank you, Julius. Honorable Mwatubaza, and I'm most welcome. We did register your apology. May you kindly, with the Honorable Mwabe, do me a favor, just direct her to her seat so that she will know the seat. Just check her file where he is. I'm giving you a reason to talk to her.
Yes,
thank you so much. Honorable Bamela, your file is somewhere here. Oh, it's next to Honorable Kiranda. Then that's a report of the vetting, Honorable Members. I believe that we may proceed because also the speed or the turnaround of Parliament vetting office is not in our hands. But at least in terms of our program, we would be then confirming the names in terms of the preferred candidates next week. So there is the whole of this week that we trust that you will also, Julius, just make a follow-up for them. We know they are overstretched, but for this one, we really appreciate that. There's nothing for us to decide next week. Thank you, Honorable Members. That will bring us then. Unfortunately, Tadeo Bella, is that 8:30 was not around 8:30, so we started, but what we're dealing with is just housekeeping matters in terms of dealing with the process. So we have adopted the minutes with the correction of the vetting, which was not included, the minutes of the 1st of November. Second act is the fourth item in terms of the housekeeping matters for the committee. Is that I am suggesting that the administration take us through the questions, but I will urge members that the questions that we should stick to the questions which will allow consistency in terms of asking questions, but they should be follow-up, although it's desirable that at least follow-up must be one follow-up, but it depends on the response of the candidate. Although we agree that we finish at 6, but we should also do a fair process in terms of each and every individual candidate so that there is fairness on that. In a summary, the questions, they just cover the legal legislative mandate in terms of the Constitution. That's why I requested that the Constitution, that section also be included, and also the Act, and also the Public Finance Management Act. Then I'll bring it to you. You'll recall, members, that we did request them to segmentize the questions in terms of the subheadings, the legislative one, the HR one, the compliance, the corporate governance, as it may. Then take us through, Julius.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I hope all members have got the questions as proposed. These are draft questions for the members, meaning the members can still make amendment if there's any. Just to take you through, members, on page two, it's just to indicate the rules and the procedures of the interview, of which I won't read, and then when you move to page 3, it clearly spelled out the role of the chairperson for this subcommittee. Right. But if you go to the gist of what we are here for today, it's on page 4, questions for the candidates. The first question is... Though it's not a question, that one is for the chairperson, where the chairperson will then ask the candidate just to take us through his CV, sort of the background information about the candidate. But the main question is to then start on question number 1, where then we want to ascertain from the candidate what is their understanding of the values and the principles of Section 195 of the Constitution. So there, we don't want a candidate to say all the values, but just to share with the committee his or her understanding in terms of those values. And then again, the following question is just to, and there's a memorandum of possible questions just to give members a guide in terms of what does the questions require, but. It's up to the candidate also to give us more rather than just to stick to what is on the memorandum. And the second question is just about the understanding of the functions of the Public Service Commission, of which the candidate should be in a position to understand what are the mandate or the functions of the Public Service Commission. And we have got a follow-up question. Is page four?
No, that's the second question.
Yes, yeah. And then on the very same page four, there's a follow-up question.
No, page four, you would say it's question one.
Yes.
It's question one, then you are going to the first part of the question and you said next question.
Oh, all right.
Not the second question.
All right.
No, it's still the first question.
Yeah, it's still the first question, all right. So, yes, it's up, all right. Yeah, just to make a follow up on those two questions after maybe one member ask a candidate. It's just to ask the to probe from the candidate whether the Public Service Commission is it indeed performing its mandate, so that we can get because this interview is part of learning process for the committee, so that we can get more out of the candidate.
Not learning per se, but also to get the candidate's view, how can we also make the department creative as possible, not necessarily learning, just lack of better English words.
Yes. All right, on page six, I've now moved to question number two. The question number two, again, is still on the legislative mandate, if you look at the theme. And then the question there is, what can be the best strategy in assisting the Public Service Commission to ensure that government departments appoint competent and dedicated public servants, particularly at the senior level, positions? So I hope the question that they are sort of proposed and possible answers on the other side. And moving to page seven. Then the theme is developmental state. And the question in there is, there are two questions. The first one is, what are the challenges that hinder public administration in potentially realizing a developmental state? And the second one is, what sort of public services are required by South Africa to achieve its developmental objectives? And when you go to page 8, there are also two questions. The first one, how would you define good governance? And the second one, it would be, what are the five main principles of good governance within the context of democratic government and efficient public service? And you go to page 10. The theme is all about the National Development Plan, but more specifically political administrative interface. And I've got two questions. We'll say, in your own opinion, what causes political interference into administration? And how can these causes be eliminated? And the candidate has to provide a practical example. And the second question is, the Public Service Commission is a custodian of good governance. What could be the role of Public Service Commission in minimizing political interference into the administration, which affects service delivery as a result? On a page 11, again, is this question emanates from the NDP, strengthening oversight. The main question there is, recommendations by the public service are partially implemented. What causes the weaknesses or gaps that results department not implementing the recommendations? And how can Parliament assist the Public Service Commission in enforcing recommendations? And the second question, what should be done to enforce implementation of Public Service Commission recommendations drawn from various reports produced? And what could be your strategy in ensuring enforceability of recommendations? And moving to page 13, The theme also emanates from the National Development Plan, fighting corruption. What will be, the question is, what will be the best way to alert the executive about corrupt practices and soliciting their action to combat such practices? And on page 14, so, but it starts from page, still again on corruption, fighting corruption.
You just mentioned question 8.
Yeah, I'm now on question 8. It's also on corruption. Among challenges confronting the Public Service Commission is compliance rate with the financial disclosure in the public service. What would be your advice as a commissioner to the Public Service Commission to intensify the compliance rate? Why is the financial disclosure key in the public service? And the second question, I would say, provide an explanation on how does the financial disclosure work. And the last question, question number 9 on page 15. And the main question there, what are the major obstacles in the recruitment system in the public service, of the public sector? Is the public sector recruitment system effective in order to ensure professional and capable state? And the second question, what can be the role of the Public Service Commission in eliminating unethical practices in the recruitment system in order to ensure public servants are appointed based on merit? I think that's the last one, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Julius. Honourable Mark, here are the categories and also propose the questions. I would suggest that if there's any question that you would like to amplify or enhance it. But secondly, also after we have dealt with that one, that... okay, let me leave the other one. Let me just get a reaction to the members, Honourable Members. Honourable Matubazana Fanidezese, followed by Honourable Member.
No, thank you, Honourable Chairperson. No, I think the members, the questions that have been given to us, which are more legislative and within the framework of that, are just a draft like what he has said. But I don't think the members are limited to ask questions based on the CV submitted. I think that one we've made it clear, and it has to be like that. That you don't necessarily need to stick on those questions, because even if you look at the time, the 13 minutes, it doesn't mean that when the candidate, that it has 13 minutes left, because it depends how much you probe the candidate for the committee to fulfill itself that indeed they have reflected correctly on the person that they want. So I just want to endorse on that. That the questions that are there are just the guidelines, are just guiding us, just a draft legislatively. But the CV is the more guide to us, because this person is telling us about himself or herself. So us as the committee, we need to probe based on those things, so to find out exactly who is this person we're dealing with and what are we doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. May I first just say... Thank you, Jay. I appreciate the questions, and I can you like a question, if that's possible? I really love the tone and the direction given by the questions. I'm just concerned by one thing, and that is there are many sub-questions. If I count all of them and include the first one where we ask people to introduce yourself, it comes to about 20 questions. My experience is that, you know, for an interview of 30 minutes, we should probably be looking at about 9 questions. So that's the first one. The second one is just, unless you ask the question separately, it's difficult for a candidate who hasn't got the questions in front of him or her to remember, you know, when the question becomes very long and with lots of sub-paragraphs, etc. And I was just wondering whether we shouldn't
eliminate or simplify or shorten a few of these questions, hopefully still getting the same, just the same, you know, going to the same direction. And if the committee agrees, I would like to make some proposals in this regard.
That's fine. Let me just take all the hands. Honourable Shema.
Thank you, Chair. I'm prompted by what Mama Dwellana said, that we not be limited to the questions that are here, and I fully agree with that. My shortcoming in the future of the corridor is that questions have been waited here 10, 12 minutes or so. Now, what does that mean for scoring? If we are going to, I agree with the notion that we may deviate, but how does that impact on scoring when questions here have been waited? I think we need to address the waiting question so that we can have a consistent sort of approach.
Yeah, mine was the same, like final station, and about the number of questions. We will never finish here. We'll be set for 3 candidates and we'll sit in the afternoon. This number of questions is a bit too much. And also, I was also wondering perhaps, but it's too late now because now we have other suggestions that we can go outside the question, which will even complicate time, will even create further time problems for us. Because I was going to suggest that when we ask the question, we perhaps keep that question also in writing in front of them, you know. I don't know if that's acceptable. Sorry, because this to remember the question.
I'll make sure that we do come back to that point, which is quite important. So what Honourable Matubazana has raised is a matter of principle, which I don't see all of us having a problem with that. In terms of the subtitles or headings, in terms of areas of focus as a matter of principle, we are fine with that. But also, as the member decides to ask a question, we shouldn't lose the gist and the essence of what we want to get from the person. As much as they also the CV will assist us to a candidate, that's why. That means then, you said there are 24 questions. Sort of, yes, there are 20, don't. But if you take them in terms of how you restructure your asking of your question, it will be one question. It will still remain one. That is why they are presented to us as draft questions. Secondly, I will go to with a notion that I will urge members that we go to the like of the question, that each and every member take from the heading question 1, 2, 3 randomly like that. Then as to how then you redraft your questions for the benefit of the candidate is up to you. But the most important one, that they must be consistent in terms of your principal questions that we would have asked to each and every candidate for fairness purposes. Are we in agreement in that approach? That is, gives us a sense of comfort. It seems like we are fine. Let's give it a tick to that. Let me get to who wants to take which question. I mean, I normally say let's start from our left, we go right down to the end, because it doesn't make much difference anyway. So that is fine. Two, then the question of waiting. We are politicians. We are not administrators. I would suggest that when at the end, when we are concluding in terms of identifying the preferred candidate as in May, that we discuss names instead of waiting. But a member can wait candidates for your own scientific approach to the candidate. Because that one is an administration, it's a normal one of an HR, corporate governance, as it may, corporate space like that. That we discuss the names at the end. So the waiting one, you can do the waiting for your own purposes, for record purposes, yes. The other one that I will request when we get our stretch break, that Maskole, we also try and organize a writing pad for our candidates and a pair. And I will request them, they will take their written pages and leave the pen and the writing pad as well. Any other housekeeping matter that I think we have addressed all the important areas how to go through this road. And I don't like to look at your face because I could see that you want to say something and I want to close and I've closed. Honorable Ngwabe, then it's not you, Honorable Ngwabe. The country knows himself.
Thanks. No, Cheng, I heard you saying during the tea break, the Masipala must organize something for, I think, from the first candidate, because if we are going to ask questions, all of us, they will need to take down this question. We might disadvantage the first candidate if we say during the tea break.
No, the first break now, because we're dealing with a fatal leg of the subcommittee.
Oh.
Then when we are about to call the candidate, that's when then he is
going
to do that.
They are
Thank you, Chair. The process of the interview, are we going to do question answer back and forth, or when I'm asking the candidates, do we take all of the questions at one time and then they all answer it once, or is it back and forth?
My approach, which is normal, and you are also Honourable Member familiar with that, if a question, one for argument's sake, is being asked, then we expect the candidate to respond to that one, so that members, if they want also to make a follow-up, not necessarily the one that have asked the question, they are able to do that and dispose of that question. Otherwise, you go start all over again the interview. So that's an approach that is conducted thus far, that based on my experience and parliament experience as well. Let us have our 5 minutes break and health break. Oh, before that, let me take Honorable Dombela. He hasn't said a word, and then I'll come to Honorable.
Okay, my first word is good morning.
Good morning, Chair.
Chair Hudson, if I realize that the candidate is going to town about the question that I posed, is going to town for the sake of time, am I allowed to stop him?
Yes.
Or what would be our approach in that regard? Are we going to allow them free reign? What are we going to do?
Okay. That's what I think the chair should also, when the candidate comes in and say how we're going to approach the interview, and also indicate that it would be not disrespect, but when the question, the owner of the question is satisfied, then the honourable member will indicate, and the candidate mustn't get offended in a polite way.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just ask, my impression is each one of us is going to ask a question, a different question, but that we all ask the same question every time around, so that you allocate a question and say, for example, honourable for a best reason, will you ask question 5 or 6 or whatever, and then that we all then, as we get our question, try to simplify that question. Then the second thing is, I would appreciate it when a candidate comes in that you would say to the candidate, we are going to put 9 questions to you, and you have half an hour. And so that they can also time themselves, because we have got a very strict schedule, Chair, and it's very unprofessional if we start running an hour or so, you know, over time with candidates waiting, and there's not a nice place for them to wait. So those are my two suggestions.
Honourable Honourable says that I don't think it should be proper for the chair to say to a candidate, Mrs. So-and-so, you are here and you'll be asked 9 questions, and then she ends up because of the probing, because you don't know what is she going to say. Because of the probing, then she ends up with 14 questions, and then she goes to the paper and says, the first thing the chair, what she said to me, was 9 questions, and then I ended up at 20. So she can't commit to the number of the questions. 2, I'll give an example of where we're coming from with Mwaz. There's a candidate that we interviewed for 2 hours, 2 full hours, because of the thing he was saying, and we had to keep on probing and probing and probing. So the chair can't commit to the time. Because once the chair commits to the time and then it lasts, it then becomes a charge. So I am saying, coming back to the questions, the chair can't say, Madubazan, you're going to ask question 3 and 4. No. Because you like what she has said earlier on, you assess the can, candidate's incompleteness, whether it's whoever is asking a question, what is your assessment of answering that question by the candidate? How much would you give if you were to give 40% or 50% based on the handling of a question? That's my understanding. Because saying, for an example, I'm not going to ask any of those questions that are listening. I'm going to look at the person, the CV of the person, and hear what he says to me. And based on that, then I probe, because we want a better person to do a better job. So I am saying I really request, you know, the chair must not commit on the things that at the end of the day is going to find himself on the wrong side. Thank you, Chair.
Let's agree with the honourable member that the approach would be welcoming the candidate and point him or her on the safe message with the trigger that she will be not there when the candidate comes in. And then say to the candidate that we introduce ourselves and we ask questions. Secondly, that I trust that if he or she is aware that the allocated time which was notified them for him, that it's an interview less than an hour. But also the candidate, if he's not had the question correctly or properly, people in listening skills, the honorable members will repeat the question. And there's a bottle of water which will be changed. It has to remain soaked, and the writing pad in the pen. Then you write your question, and then you respond. But also the people who can capture the questions, they don't need to write down. I've observed that. But when they leave our pen with our compliments and the writing pad, and they take their notes. And that's it. And then we send the candidate, of course, we are going to introduce like in terms of the normal one, the ice-breaking one, which is going to come in from the chair. If I feel also from the chair that they are important, the question that I think is also, I can raise it, that never didn't ask those questions. Because the chair also will sum up in terms of the candidate to also the normal housekeeping, yes, the last question. I think with that approach, it's a normal approach that I think, having done that, I think the legal services will smile. At the end, not today.
Can I just say, I've just heard you say it must not go over an hour. You spoke about an hour.
I said less than an hour.
Less than an hour.
Yes, which is, I would say, also 45 minutes.
See, the interviews are scheduled for half an hour.
No, that's fine.
And if we just go 45 minutes to each candidate, of the 10 candidates, we will be already hours behind.
12 o'clock in there.
Yes. And I would rather then suggest that if we believe that we cannot estimate the full value of a candidate within half an hour, that we then go into the second round of interviews on another day with the 3 or 4 or 5 that we really appreciate. Mm-hmm. But to tell a candidate you must be here, let's say, by 4 o'clock this afternoon, 4:15. But we only called in 8:15. I really believe it's doing an injustice to candidates. It is not protecting the image of Parliament. It will show that we cannot plan, we're incompetent, and I don't want to be part of such a process.
Okay,
I also want to ask you, Chair, that we cannot, I understand some people would like to probe and probe and probe and probe to try and expose some candidates. But then we're not, definitely not getting, going to keep to the schedule. Then we must schedule another day.
No, I totally agree with you, Honourable Member. The dilemma that I had at 8:30 today is that some of us were not here. And I have to recap each and every member walk in so that all of us are on the same page, which I was repeating myself. Even now, if we're also mindful of the time, we would, Honourable Marvin, we would have agreed in terms of the principle. If when I was dealing with the approach, we would have, if we thought that we will also, let me say, Honourable Member, the interviews are going to be less than an hour, which we have allocated 30 minutes to the candidates, and then after that we reassess if one is satisfied or not satisfied, we want to call them back. Because otherwise, when you start having a master plan and deviate from your master plan, then you are not focused and it becomes a problem in terms of the process. Another
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I really feel that we are now wasting the very important time that we should be using for candidate. Because, Chairperson, you see, in this kind of interviews, it's important that we have an agreement on time allocation, that 30 minutes to 45 minutes. But also, we should have an understanding that the time we have allocated is not alpha and omega for the day. Sometimes you exceed, not because of the intention of the panelist, but the candidate themselves. Remember, these are very senior positions. Some candidate will come here with a lot of information, and they will want to display that information to us. Even themselves, they delay us. So we must put that one in mind. So I'm saying let's stick on our 30 minutes. If we exceed, it's a cut of the interviews. There'll be no crash about that.
Okay. Shall we have our 5 minutes stretch break while the then get ready for the candidates? Thank you.